Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of Nostalgia. I have with me Miriam, who I know through Janoi. I know through Janoi and through Bikita, so yeah, friends of friends. So Miriam, do you want to say hi to the beautiful people?
Hello, beautiful people. I'm Miriam, working marketing. And Janoi kind of introduced me to yourself, Victoria, through this, and loved the idea of it. And wanted to be involved, so yeah, I'm really excited.
Oh, I really appreciate you getting involved in what's going on, and yeah, I'm really excited to like hear your stories behind your song. Cool. So do you want to kick it off with your first one?
Yes, so this is my first song, Lover You Should Have Come Over by Jeff Buckley, and this is actually my favorite song of all time.
Yeah.
And Jeff Buckley is my favorite one of my favorite artists. Comes from the album Grace, which is a beautiful, beautiful album. When I was younger, so I think I discovered Jeff Buckley when I was maybe like 14. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you ever watched The OC. So The OC was like trashy American teen show. But there was a scene and it was playing Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley, which yes. Most people will know, yeah. Which is a cover from the Leonard Cohen original. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, this is like really haunting. I was like, who is this? And yeah. You'll kind of learn throughout this. And admittedly so, back in the day, I was a bit of a music snob. Like, I was kind of like trying to just be on the edge of like, I just want to like be the muso and be like a little bit snobby about it. And so I kind of like had heard Hallelujah and I was like, oh, this is beautiful. And then I used to read Q magazine, like NME and Q magazine were my thing. So I'd like spend my pocket money weekly. And I got a free CD and it had Dream Brother by Jeff Buckley on. I was like, oh, it's this guy again. So I then listened to it. And then I just like was obsessed with him. And my friend bought me for a birthday present, the Grace album. And I absolutely like fell in love with it. And
yeah.
there was like, it had a DVD about Jeff Buckley. And I was like, oh, I've got to find out everything about him. And that's what I normally do. Like when I like love an artist, I'm like, Wikipedia, let me know everything about them. And sadly, he died before he was able to release his second album. And he was kind of like an upcoming artist. And yeah, the song Lover You Should Come Over. And I think it was just me being kind of a bit young and like wishful of love. And it was just the, like lyrically, I think that song was amazing. And there's this lyric in there. It's like, you're the tear that hangs inside my soul forever. And it's just that like, that love that you kind of like crave. And it's, you know, and it's kind of like, you can't be all the way honest about it, but you can tell that, I don't know what his situation was, but you can tell that he almost like just poured his heart and soul into this song. And it's just it's very euphoric in places of the song. The strings, I mean Jeff Buckley, he played like 10 different instruments and he was like multi-talented, and he had like that 4-octane voice or whatever, the like some amazing kind of they can some really high notes. I just think that that song kind of reminds me of being younger, like wishful thinking, like this very lyrical. I think it started to like make me understand music beyond just like, you know, listening to like pop songs and stuff, like really have any like meaning to it. And then suddenly Jeff Buckley came about, and then he was like, he had these like, just like, it kind of, I'm like young, I wasn't in love with anyone, but I suddenly listened to this song and I was like, oh, I know what love is.
Yeah.
Really like dug deep. I think Jeff Buckley for me, that whole album is beautiful, and I'd highly recommend everyone to listen to it. And you know, it's slightly grungier at times, but you know, really you can hear kind of like the jazz influence, and like he was a New York artist, and so you can kind of hear like there's like a few videos, but like that kind of like jazz cafe vibe, like that kind of old school like 90s. It kind of really like is quite, well, I'm aware of it, like not reminiscent, but it's almost like you see TV and stuff, like TV shows of that era, like it feels very like reminiscent of that. So Lover You Should Have Come Over, I think it's very, for me, just lyrically like one of the most genius songs I've ever heard.
No, it's amazing. And it's like, it's almost as if you just heard him and you just went down a rabbit hole with him, and then you had to just know absolutely everything about him.
Yeah.
I'm honestly the same. I just go deep down, like, I love you. I just want to know everything about you. I want to know every single song that you've ever played and everything.
It's so weird though, because like, you get into it and you're like, this is not normal human behavior. But like, you end up like, you're just like, your talent, I think talent generally, and I think all the artists I've picked today and their songs are like, you know, shows like you are talented, like you have got a skill there. And I think talent in itself, like particularly music and any generally any art, you find so captivating and so fascinating that you want to dig deep and you want to understand, you want to understand where they come from, you want to get into that. And I think for me, Jeff Buckley was, you know, he had an interesting story. Like, his dad was a folk artist called Tim Buckley, who'd like left him as a child, but and had become famous in his own right. And Tim Buckley passed away, I think, from, I want to say drugs, like took a drug overdose. But they were like, but he didn't know his dad at all. But they look identical. So he was always going up in the music scene, people talking about his dad being legendary, this Tim Buckley. And obviously he had his surname, but he, and looked exactly like him. And he just had no idea who he was. He met him once, like when he was like five. Yeah. Oh. And I was like, imagine living your life like that, under this, like, in the shadow of someone who is part of you, but you don't know them. And I couldn't even imagine, like, I've had my dad with music my whole life, and, like, I couldn't imagine what that must do. And so there must have been some sort of, like, angst that come out of his music through that. And it's stuff like that, like, I was like, I need to get in deep. I need to understand.
I think, because even when I was looking him up, he sung Hallelujah, and that was very iconic for that song. And I didn't realize that it was, he did a cover of someone else's song, but then he became so famous by him singing that song. I heard the original by Leonard Cohen, and it just wasn't the same.
It's completely different.
Completely different vibe. And I think because you just kind of, when you hear that song, you just kind of stamp them as, that's the song should sound.
You know what's really interesting about that song, and this is like super geeky for me knowing this, but it's in another podcast, this about this, well, it's about songwriting and how some people can write songs that are like, that they have to like really like break it down, and it can take years to write a perfect song, but some artists can do a perfect song in 15 minutes and it's like smash. The song Hallelujah is like, Leonard Cohen notoriously would spend hours and weeks and weeks and weeks on songs. And actually, the version that Jeff Buckley sings and has made famous is actually a version of the Leonard Cohen version, but not the one Leonard Cohen did. So it's basically someone else did a version, Jeff Buckley copied that version, and it's that version that's become really famous. And it's just really interesting the way that that song has kind of like become famous in its own right. It was just by chance that Jeff Buckley had heard this recording by a guy that wasn't famous. It was like, he just found it at like a record shop, like a charity shop. And he just by chance heard it and was like, oh, that's a really nice song. Didn't realise Leonard Cohen did that. And it's just like how songs can just like have their own journeys to becoming famous. And that I really loved about that story. I mean, and that song is stunning.
It is indeed. Just listen to it. Maybe I'm too young to keep good love from going wrong. But tonight, you're on my mind, so you never know. Broken down and hungry for your love, but no way to feed it. Where are you? Child, you know how much I need it. Too young to hold on, and too old to just break free and run. Sometimes a man gets carried away, feels like he should be. Sometimes a man must wait to find the feeling you have. I feel like men have a bit more, they just bare their hearts and their souls. Yeah.
And I'll touch on that because I found that there was no female artist on my song list, and yeah, I struggled with that. It took me to the end of, like, they were originally on my, like, long list. And I think it was, and I love female artists, there's no doubt about that, and I think it was just, like, because it was picking songs of the time, but I think it's only recently, like, maybe last 5 or so years, I've really got into female artists, and I wonder why that is, because I never consciously thought that there was no, like, there's no female artists on my song. I think the kind of music I listened to when I was younger, which was more indie rock, there wasn't a big female presence. And I think it was only when I started to get into R&B and hip hop that's when female artists started to, like, become more a part of my, like, listening.
That's interesting.
Music listening journey, yeah.
Yeah. I guess because the industry was just, like you said, it just didn't really have that, in your genre that you enjoyed, it just didn't have that female presence. And now, that's mental. It's a bit more. It's like a bit more diverse now, isn't it?
A little bit, but not. You know what? And I probably haven't listened to live indie rock music in the same way I used to listen to it. So I don't know the new stuff so much now. But from what I see, it's still pretty. Like, I think music has become now a little bit like, you kind of listen to everything. I feel like music has crossed over genre wise. Like, you know, back in the day, like, you'd listen to, I'd be like, I'm an indie girl. I listen to indie rock, or I listen to some emo when I was a bit younger, pop punk, or you listen to hip hop, or you listen to R&B. Like, you were very, like, bucketed. Now, like, kids these days, they listen to, I mean, all these music genres are, like, turned into, like, a mix of everything. I don't even know what sound, like, fusion sounds they are now. But it seems like everyone's now, like, which is fantastic. I love the idea of it, but it seems like, and I don't think I have a specific genre that I could tell you that I love.
Same.
Beyond another, you know? But yeah, I think the kind of, for me, the songs, yeah, like, from a female perspective, I think they just weren't around, like, into this kind of music, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess because, like, we have a different access to music now, because obviously we can stream, we've got YouTube, SoundCloud, like, it's just so, like, we can access music in so many different ways, and even artists can put their music out, you know, independent people can just put their music out wherever, and we can have a bit more access to them, and I guess that gives us a bit more variety of what we can listen to and what we now listen to. Like, you know, I remember a time where, like, Afrobeats was not a thing. It just, like, what's Afrobeats? Like, now you can't go anywhere and not hear Afrobeats.
The thing is, Afrobeats has suddenly become, I mean, I love Afrobeats, but, like, I don't think I even knew what the term was, like, 3 years, like, no, maybe not, like, 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I didn't even, had never even heard of it.
Yeah.
And then Fuse ODG came out, for me, that was kind of, like, my into, like, Afrobeats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Fuse came out, and I was like, is this kind of, like, poppy? Like, what is this? I can't quite work it out. And then now you've kind of got, like, Wizkid and Burna, and, like, now it's kind of all very, like, everyone's on it now. Exactly. Everyone loves it. Exactly. And it's great, and it's, like, proper party vibes, and I think it's kind of showing a different side to, you know, to kind of Black music, because it's not just American hip-hop.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's where it was for so long. And American hip-hop just never, like, just, I mean, I love some artists, but, like, it just never really spoke to me. So, mm-hmm. For me, yeah.
Yeah, totally get that. Do you want to go on to your next one? Giants by Josh Osho, who is a British artist.
Lost in making waves, and always something on our mind. You need something so beautiful when you feel you're losing ground. Someone to keep you straight up tall, cause no one wants to fall. I'm with you. stop. At least I know where I am heading to. So glad to join the revolution, 'cause I've been missing you. Till we all know where this story goes, we're climbing up these walls.
Me and Bikita talk about this a lot. Our mutual friend Bikita, he was an incredible human being. And she got me into Josh Osho. She gets me into a lot of like new artists, spoken word, all of that stuff. So she's kind of like my gateway. And I listen to Josh Osho, and Josh Osho reminds me of a time when I worked as like, I come out of uni and I'd worked at this event nutrition PR company, and it was really small, like there was three of us, and they were like, I was 21 and they were all like, they were like 45. And it was a really weird environment. We were in a really small office and I was kind of a bit meek, and they were like, one of them was like quite like out there, she was a bit overtly sexual, and she was like 45, and she would like would, and also had kind of like a negative opinion on loads of people, and then would like kind of talk to me about it all the time. So that time I was just like in a really shitty place, and I was like, I hate this company, I hate the environment I'm in, I was like, this isn't right. And I think I went to some sort of spoken word with Vicky, and Vicky had told me about this dude Josh Osho, and I started listening to his music, and I was just like, oh, how uplifting. Like, so uplifting. That voice is like so smooth, and Giants, like the lyrics to that, it was just like, we all want to be giants, and you know, lift our heads tall. And it's just that kind of idea of like, oh, okay, you know, this is just my situation now, like I know that there's better things to come. And it was, it just kind of like always, and I used to listen to this album, that whole album that he had was all of it was like boom, such a great album. And I used to listen to that song like before I used to go to work, because I just was like almost like my Rocky song before I went into like into the
like
ring.
Mental preparation, like we got this. We
I was like Josh Osho's Giants. And you know what? And I think I also then ended up leaving that job to go traveling in Southeast Asia with one of my best friends, and that song kind of carried me through, like it, because there were times when I went traveling that I kind of felt a bit lonely, like I was in Southeast Asia, I was really far away from home, and you know, it was a very different environment for me. I had never really traveled hugely before, not much more than like France or Spain or whatever, and going to Southeast Asia and like being black and no one else there being black, it was very like being stared at and stuff. So I'd listen to that album, it just always made me feel like better about myself. And I think, you know, I'd be like, and I didn't ever want to say to my friend that I was feeling a bit uncomfortable because staring was a lot and stuff. And so I would listen to that album like just every now and again, like when I was on a beach or something, and I'd just be like, okay, I'm there, I'm feeling good again. And so it was always just that pep. And I miss him so much. Like I think I saw him at Brixton Station.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I really, really wanted to say hello, but I wasn't 100% sure, and I just didn't want that embarrassment in my life.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah, because I wouldn't cope well with it. So yeah, and I really just wanted to be like, where are you? And you know how with Jeff Buckley, I had the opportunity, and what you were saying as well, like I want to find out everything about you. There's nothing to find out. No Twitter, no social media. He's gone. So if anyone listening knows where Josh Osho is, or if Josh Osho is listening, can you just like release something?
Yeah.
Even if it's like under another guise. Like I love his music.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like proper British South London artist. Like to be honest, I haven't heard of him. He's got two big songs, Contemporary, and then Giants was another big one.
Yeah.
I was listening to it. It was just like, this just like just some feel good, because I had like a morning mantra playlist. I'm like, I can feel like the vibes,
yeah.
Like it's just super, super uplifting. Like, yeah. really good vibes.
One of his songs, Redemption Days, I think Childish Gambino did a feature on it.
Yes.
As well. Like, he was, like, Josh Usher was, like, Redemption Days, like, that, that bit at the beginning was, like, quite, like, it was, like, played on radio and stuff. Like, I remember it at the time. But yeah, there's just something, and it's a shame when I kind of see artists like that, like super talented, and you're like, oh.
And they just disappear.
Yeah,
it's strange. I guess, like, you know, they have their time and they have that kind of like boost of creativity where they feel like, okay, I'm going to produce this music. And then after a while, they feel like maybe my job is done, and they kind of just disappear, which is so strange. Maybe.
I know, it's just, you know what? I just felt like there was a lot of passion in what you were doing as well. And I think this kind of stems from like that whole talent thing, and it's just like, I just don't want you to waste your talent. And I don't know what the situation is, like, you know, it's a rough business, I hear, the music industry, so who knows what happens. I would like to say that, like, Josh Osho's, his music has definitely like brought a lot of joy in my life, and it also like helped me see bigger than the situation, like see that there was more to the situation, like this situation is just like a microcosm of your life, and you're going to step out of it, and you're going to live, you'll do better and bigger things, which I ended up doing. And I always credit that to that kind of music and that like positivity.
That's amazing. How music can just kind of inject that within you and just make you feel that. Because even sometimes on your down days, like, I think, I have a playlist for just about everything. I think I said this
before,
I have a playlist for just about everything. I have a Sunday playlist, I have a cleaning playlist, I'm going to work, I have like music that I just constantly listen to, and it just helps me just keep on that nice even keel.
Yeah.
It gives me good vibes. Like, I just,
do you listen to a lot of different playlists? Because I've got a bit of a, and I don't know if it's a bit like, not OCD, but like, you know, just a routine, but I end up listening to some of the same songs over and over again, like on my way to work and stuff. So a lot of the stuff, like when I was picking these songs, it was like just what I was listening to on my commute on the way to work.
Yeah.
And it was just, so those songs remind me of an era of my life, potentially not a particular story, but an era of my life. And I think, it's interesting, like, people have different playlists for different things. Because for me, it's like my commuting one is probably the one that, like, speaks to me the most.
Yeah.
Because it, like, it's so familiar to a like, specific time in my life. I like that you have like different playlists for different scenarios.
Yeah.
I need a cleaning playlist. I probably would put like some Afro beats on a cleaning playlist.
Yeah, just like, I'm so close to just like the go-to for the cleaning, or like if I'm feeling like, all right, if I'm working, because that, you know, working from home now, this COVID thing, like we're literally having this conversation via Zoom. When I'm have those little kind of like rough kind of minutes or hours during work, I would just pop on some soca, and I'm just like, all right, this is gonna get done.
Yeah,
get this report done. I'm just feeling the good vibes, and I just smash it out, because you just start to focus, your mind just shifts ever so slightly. And I guess that's the same thing with the commute, because the commute, when you're commuting, it's just like you're going the same place, you're going the same journey, you're going the same route, you might see the same people, you just your brain just kind of switches off. And I find like when you're subconsciously listening to music, I think that's when you kind of take it in just a little bit more, and it kind of resonates just a little bit more, because you're subconsciously, you're not focusing it too much, but it's in the background, it's playing, it's on your mind. And I think those are the songs that kind of, and when they kind of speak to you and stand out, you're like, that's the song. That's the song that I really connect to.
Oh, for sure. And I think, this isn't on my list, although it was on my shortlist, Kid Cudi, for me, Man on the Moon album, and like soundtrack to my life. It's like that song just like reminds me so much of like that kind of like going to work, and then like, because I mean, Kid Cudi's lyrics can be pretty dark. I mean, he's been through a lot, and I think, you know, I think I just like the sound of the music at first. Like, a lot of music for me, I just like, oh, I like the way it sounds. I love Kanye stuff, I just like the way it sounds. And then you just listen to it over and over again on your commute or whatever. And then you're like, oh, these lyrics. And I was like, oh my God. Like, when I was listening to soundtrack to my life and realized what it was like, realized it was kind of about, you know, suicide and like suicidal thoughts. And I was a bit like, oh my God, Kid Cudi. Oh, I didn't know you were going through this. And it's like, it's this masking. Cause you know, I think that links to like, whenever I'm feeling down, I don't listen to like, I never listen to like depressing music when I'm sad. Like, that doesn't work for me. Like, yeah, and it, and it's the same, you know, so listening to stuff like that, and it's like, oh, like, you're kind of just like partying to it in your head, and then you're like, oh, this is actually like really profound, and then that's when it kind of sinks in, and it's just, it probably like, you know, the fifth day of your commute, and you're listening to this album again, and it's just sunk in that this is what it's about, and you're like, oh, okay. So, you know, and it, but you know, people are going through things, and you know, music like helps kind of put a package around it, but like it helps you digest it, you know.
I think that's a good way to put it. I think that's a really good way to put it. And I guess for the artists, it's their way to get it out there.
Yeah, for sure.
For us, it's just for us to relate to that, and then for us to feel like, you know, we're not alone in this. Whatever the artist is going through, we're not alone. Like, we, everyone experiences some down days and tough times. And
100%.
I guess it's that form of expression. It's that exchange. And that's like, I guess that's why music is just so, it's just so important.
You know, it breaks my heart really around like the situation with coronavirus, because a lot of people are dealing with a lot, and what, you know, and I love art. I love art of all forms, live art particularly, whether that's spoken word, whether that's music, you know, love watching dance and stuff, and it really, like, you know, it's so important to people to express things, and people aren't very good at communicating very well. Like, you know, I struggle sometimes, like, getting the right words out and whatever. I'm not saying that I'm a muso, like a musician or anything, so I don't release it in that way. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people now that are like stunted because they can't do that. And, you know, there's a lot of venues that are like suffering, and I go to so many live gigs. I love live music. I have, since I had my job at Subway when I was like 15, 16, all my money used to go on live gigs. I used to go to a gig every month, like without fail, like earning £4 an hour or whatever. And I, since I was 14 up until now, 31, I go to live gigs like once a month at least. And the fact that I'm not doing that and not seeing that, I love how social media is making people creative, but it also makes, you know, you see there are venues that are struggling at the moment. And so I just like how important music is, and it's like the impact, and it's so sad because they're like traditionally like people that are underfunded and so important, because, you know, for mental health, but also for just like, you know, getting out of your day to day. And music is so fundamental to that. So it's really sad that, you know, this situation is impacting that industry so badly. And I do worry. I worry about that a lot. So just the importance of music, it stems outside of
just listening, know, and it's experience.
Listening to and consuming it, it's actually like the livelihoods of these amazing people. And you don't make music the same, you don't make money with music the same way that you used to. And so people do it for the love of it. And you've got to respect them for that.
You really do. You really, really do. I think, I guess, like, you know, like you go into live gigs and having that experience just with so many people and everyone kind of feeling that same vibe and having that, sharing that experience on a very like a mass scale is amazing. Yeah. I guess, you know, as beautiful and like awesome these verses have been, it's still I think it just, as much as I can sit down and enjoy this verses on my screen, like Beanie Man, Bounty Killer, Jill Scott, and see them live and kind of experience their music, it's beautiful. But then it's just, it kind of heightens and makes me realize that I'm still disconnected and feel like still locked. And yeah, I can consume it and experience it, but if I would love to experience this on a mass scale with a lot
100%, you know what I mean? 100%. Yeah, so like I like, you know, one of the most gutting situations, like just festivals that I'm not going to, like Carnival's not happening this year, you know, they're like, come on, like that's like a year for everyone to just like let loose and just have a good time, you know. So I don't think I didn't actually realize how much I missed live music until I saw a couple of live things on Insta, and I was like, oh wow, I really miss live music. And I saw actually Bikita did a live spoken word thing on, I can't remember what it was. I can't remember. But anyway, she did that, and I was like, oh, and there was other artists performing as well, other spoken word artists, and there was a beatboxer. And I was like, this is so cool. How great would it be if this was in a venue, everyone together enjoying it? But, you know, it is what it is. Obviously, we're in a situation we can't help. And I just hope that, you know, even though this industry seems like it will be impacted the longest, hopefully, you know, sooner than we think, and you know, people can get back to enjoying the good stuff.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. I really hope that when we do fully and completely come out of this lockdown, I think everyone's going to want it. I think everyone's going to want to have those experiences with others 100%. Even more. So I think, and hopefully, that, you know, everyone will just kind of jump and just kind of run to these music venues, run to these just venues, and just like, we want to just experience and live.
I really hope so, because it makes me sad that, like, the public, the arts are the first thing that gets cut, and especially on the back of this, and it's going to be the last thing that's going to be reinstated, but it's so unbelievably important, but people just don't realise how much it is important to their life. And that's the kind of, like, kind of crappy thing about it. I hope, I'm totally with you. I hope people, like, run to it, embrace it, and, you know, get a lot more out of it than they did beforehand.
Okay, and your next song, You Can't Fool Me, Dennis.
Trusted friend. Don't think I'm being mean, just can't find a gift to send. You didn't betray a sign, not a tremble of the lip. In life, where all doubters jump, of all wisdom, this is the sum. You can't fool me, Dennis. You can't.
Young kid, went to school in St. Albans, and I was into, like, emo punk, but, like, no, well, like, I had, like, some friends of, like, into it, but, like, we were kind of not outcasts, but we were kind of, like, the grievos. And then, like, so that was kind of, so I was always into kind of rock music, and then I kind of started to discover indie music, and really, like, and I liked the idea that it was independent. I remember earlier on, I was a bit of a snob. So I like this whole kind of, like, independent, like, even with movies and stuff, like, I don't want to be part of the mass. So,
I know about these things that you don't know about, you know? Exactly.
You know what? Like, you look back at it, I proper cringe about how I used to be. Like, my family called me out on it, but, like, I was just, you know, I'm not that person anymore. Don't forgive me, everyone. But, so Mystery Jets, they were just a really interesting band. They were, the lead guy, his dad was in the band, and they were just like a really feel-good band. But basically one of my school friends, I'd known him since, like, so most of my primary school friends went to my secondary school, and so we were always kind of friends but not really, and then we all went to a party one night, and then he was like, oh, I'll drop you off to this, like, near me, and he had Mystery Jets in his car. And so we played it. And I was like, oh my God, you love Mystery Jets? And he was like, yeah, I love Mystery Jets. And I was like, oh my God, I love Mystery Jets. He was like, I didn't know you like that kind of music. I was like, yeah. And it just, like, ended up bonding about it. And it just reminds me of the group of friends that I had, like, then made on the back of listening to music. Because then everyone who kind of liked that music would go to gigs together. So we'd all go to, like, be like, oh, who are you seeing? Oh, I'm going to see Arcade Fire. I was like, oh, I'm down for that. Oh, is anyone going to get tickets for, or, like, are you on the mailing list for, Kings of Leon? So it would all be like a bit of a community for, like, these gigs. And, you know, one thing I loved, because I love live music, I love, like, the sound of the guitars and stuff, and I think Mystery Jets were just always a really fun band, and so it always reminds me of like community.
Yeah.
That like comes with that indie music, and I think it was just, it was a community I never really had before, mm-hmm. or like felt comfortable in. It was something that I felt like I genuinely liked, as opposed to like forcing myself to like, because I wanted to be like on the fringe. So yeah, for me, Mystery Jets, I have such good memories about them, and like seeing them at festivals. So I used to go to Reading Festival every year, and they used to normally play, and it was like sunny, you had a cider in your hand, you're like, you know, just like dancing away. And for me, I love indie kind of dance music as well. So I used to go to like Club NME at Coco in Camden on a weekly basis, and that was all just like indie dance. It was just fun, and I think Mystery Jets just reminds me of fun, like unadulterated fun, like nothing like seedy about it or anything. It was just like good music that that made me feel like really happy. And a couple of years ago, Mystery Jets, so they had kind of a relatively big fan following, but like not huge, but they played the Forum in Highbury, and they had 5 albums, and they played Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and they played each of their albums. And that song I had never heard live, because I'd seen Mystery Jets a few times live. You know, they just like mix up the songs on the albums and stuff. But they played like the Making Dens album on the Monday, and then they played the Serotonin album on the Tuesday, and then so they did it in order. And so like, and this was like a few years ago, and I went with my friend that I had mentioned that like we bonded over this song, over this band. And and it was just like such a great like nostalgic feeling of like being young, loving indie music. And because I think it, as well with that type of music, it was very of the time. Like NME was a big thing, NME magazine was huge, and you know, basically if you were on the front cover of NME magazine, you'd be like an indie hit, like. And so it was kind of on the fringe of like not being like pop, but then it kind of melded into pop eventually. So yeah. You know, I felt like that I'd finally found like, oh, I really enjoy this music. I think I was a bit sheep-like, like I kind of followed what I thought was cool, and I think it was the first time I was like, oh, okay, so maybe I have, or in the past kind of just got on board of what's cool. Yeah. But I was like, actually I really like this, like this is a really like, I really feel, I like the kind of the angstiness, I like the kind of almost, I mean they weren't that rebellious, but like almost a little bit rebellious nature of it, or You Can't Fool Me, Dennis, it was the first time I'd heard that song live, and it just reminds me of like happy sixth form times, listening to kind of good music in the sun. So yeah,
amazing. Yeah. I mean, it has that kind of turning point in their life where they just break away from like the pack, and I'm just gonna listen to something different. I think everyone kind of has that turning point, and I guess that like, this song and like, you know, this band was that turning point for you,
for sure.
I think it's just so important. It's so important for us to like, explore and like, you know, what am I really into? Like, not what everyone listened to, but what am I really interested in? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Like, I mean, you know, there's like times I'd listen, who was it? I was listening to like Pink Floyd, who are like known to be like the greatest band in the world. And loads of people love Pink Floyd. Mm-hmm. And I used to listen to them and be like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like psychedelic, like mumbo jumbo to me. This is not my. But I'd be like, I love Pink Floyd, like, you know, you I mean, granted, like now, like I could listen to Pink Floyd, but like at the time, I think you just kind of say it to say that you like them. And there was a lot of that, and I think, and I'll lead this into the next song, because I think one thing that I would say is that, you know, brought up in like quite predominantly white area, and I went to school in St Albans, and you know, there wasn't a huge amount of like hip hop and stuff being played in the household. Like, we listened to kind of like Whitney, who was also originally on my list, God bless her, and you know, Michael Jackson and stuff. So like, there was that kind of music back at home. But like, really, when going to school and stuff, like most people are listening to kind of, I don't really know what people are listening to, but like definitely not what I was listening to. I was listening to like emo pop punk when I was like 14. And then yeah, so for me, there was a little bit of a feeling of like, I felt like a little bit like the other. So like, I felt very different because I was black and no one else was black. And then, but I was into like a really like white music type. But then I said, so it always felt a little bit like a bit of a struggle for me. But I mean, I always had very varied taste. Like, you know, I was always, I mean, at the time, maybe I was very like exclusive to those music, but I've always kind of liked a bit of everything. And then it leads on to my next song, which I think is Banquet by Block Party.
It is indeed.
And Block Party are my favourite band of all time. Yeah. I love Block Party. They are, for me, one of the greatest bands, lyrically, and like, just, like, their songs, like, musicality-wise, it's, like, it's very different. And for me, and I would say that I probably forced myself to like Block Party at first.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely because the lead singer was black. And
I'm not going to lie, I was a bit, like, taken back. Because I was listening to it, and then I just kind of did a bit of research, and then I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Me too. And, you know, has since come out as gay as well. And I mean, that is just like, I mean, there was rumours at the time. And I think that was just like, whoa, hang on a second. Like, there's a black guy who likes indie music.
Yeah.
I like indie music.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're the same. And I listened to it, and I was like, I don't like it. I was like, I don't like it. Like, and you know what? And I had at a whim bought tickets to see them live. Their album came out in February, and I bought tickets to see them live in October. And I was like, I'm just going to have to force myself to like this album because I spent a lot of money on these tickets, and so now I'm going to have to like them. And then I listened. So the song that I'd heard first was So Here We Are, and that kind of charted and did well. And I was like, then I'd like listen to the album, and I was. It took me probably like 3 or 4 listens, and then I kind of got it. And Banquet was a banger anyway, because it was like out in the clubs, at like indie clubs, but everyone was kind of dancing around to it, and it felt very anthemic, and everyone like loved it, and it was like, it was just super catchy. And I was just like, I don't think I realized how important representation was until I discovered Block Party. That's why Block Party means so much to me. Because before that, I kind of had just liked the music that I liked, and it was fine, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I saw no color when it came to that, and it was until I saw Block Party, and then I was like, oh, okay, this is like, this feels different, and it feels like it spoke to me a little bit more. And not that, I mean, I, you know, I'm not a gay man, and I don't know his experience, and obviously he's writing music from that experience, but. You know, I can understand his experience from being, you know, in an African household, and maybe he like felt like it was a stricter vibe at first. I don't know, for him. But, and you know, also I feel like I love that music because I was kind of felt a little bit like I didn't really open up. I really struggled with opening up a lot. And I think it was just kind of like some of his music was just like the lyrics as well were like just kind of like that naivety and like scared to open up. Like there's a song, I think, Sunday, where he kind of talks about, I think it's Sunday. I'll be a bad Block Party fan if it's not that. But basically that kind of talked about like struggling to open up, and it's like falling in love, but like really like piecemeal, because you can't really like admit your own feelings. And and yeah, so I feel like that kind of opened that up for me, and it felt very like, oh, I relate to this. And I think that's when like, yeah, the idea of representation was like, I didn't realize I needed that until Block Party came around, and that's why it felt really important to me.
It is important. It's crazy that we don't necessarily even think about it on that kind of scale, but as long, because when it happens and we see it, it's like, oh wow.
Yeah,
you feel completely differently about it.
Yeah, well, it's so weird because like I would say to like friends, like, I mean, I knew a couple of friends with Jake, and we're like, do you only like them because they're like, because they've got Black singer in it?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh god, like that's so dumb. Like, mm-hmm. do I ever like say that to you about all the white like artists? Like, that's such a dumb thing to say. But you kind of almost be like, oh, is it the only reason? And I was like, maybe that is the only reason. But I don't know, you know, I can't remember how conscious it was, but I definitely feel like now looking back, it must have been some sort of like conscious reaction. I mean, beyond that, I have loved them since I was, I don't know when they first came out, 16, 17. And, you know, I still listen to their music now. And I, when they play live, I still see them live. And I've seen them like 13, 14 times live. So, and I think for me, it was kind of like, It just started to make me realize that there was like other artists out there. I felt like I was listening to kind of like the same stuff, and I think it was just like Block Party, because they got a lot of like flack as well. Like Noel Gallagher or Liam Gallagher, one of them was like, "Oh, these are like boring guys."
Oh, really?
Yeah, like they were like university challenge. Like, on, like there was a whole beef on like in the NME. Like, you don't really have social media in the same way as that back then. But yeah, on that Enemy magazine, there was like a bit of beef. Like, Noel Gallagher called them like the University Challenge Boys because they were like a bit geeky. But I kind of like that about them. I like that. And from a musical like perspective, they were incredible. Like, Matt Tong was an incredible drummer. Gordon was a great bassist. Russell was incredible lead guitarist. And the band has kind of like reconfigured now. So there's only like Kelly and Russell in the band now, but they were incredible artists, and the sounds that they were making, and seeing them live and seeing how like pepped up people were, they are absolutely incredible. And huge fan. And I think for me, they were like, they were it and still are. I mean, people at school, like at sixth form, be like, oh, is Miriam gonna go and see Block Party again? Like, I was obsessed. I think for me, like, I had to have a Block Party song on this playlist. Yeah,
no, I totally get that. And again, another feel good vibes, like proper just
party vibes, right? Like, it's just like fun music. And that's what I really like. I love listening to fun music. Like, that's just, you know, the way that I jam. I like, you know, there are some like more heartfelt stuff that I like, but I just like things that you can like have a dance to. Like, for me, music is about like brings joy, and like that for me brings me a lot of joy.
Nice. And this coming to your last song, Wretch 3-2, 6 words.
A crossing borrow you song, yeah. Wrong notes, but the melody's so clear.
The melody's so clear.
When I'm lost, I'm still close to gold, 'cause I found my treasure in you, and that's priceless spending. Now let me count my blessings. One life, two children, free time, four dreaming, five senses, 6 words. I found my treasure in you.
priceless spending. Now let me count my blessings. One life, two children, three time, four dreaming, five senses, six words. I found my treasure in you. In you. I found my treasure in you. Bronze, silver, gold, no, it's you. I found my treasure in you. Nothing less than that will do. Cause I found my treasure in you. I can't sing my OU song, yeah. Wrong notes, but the melody's so clear. And I'm lost, I'm still close to gold, cause I found my treasure.
And when I heard, like, when I listened, when I was listening to your playlist before you jumped on, and I was like, I've heard this song, and I didn't realise it was Rhett Shree 2.
Oh, did you not?
I didn't, so I've heard it, and I've just been like, this is a tune, but
yeah,
it didn't even make the connection, that's Rhett Shree 2. And it just shows how talented he is, because I'm just like, it doesn't even sound like you. It just, you just sound completely different from what I know, I guess, from what I'm used to kind of hearing his music. But no, I love it. Absolutely love that song.
It's a banger. What I say about Rich. Rich? Okay, so from like indie, then I kind of went into all like I went into like more hip-hoppy music. I'm definitely more of a fan of like UK rap music than I am American, but I do love like, shout out to obviously like Kanye, love Jay-Z, Mac Miller, Kid Cudi. They're the huge, like J. Cole, Kendrick, love them. Yeah. But like generally, like my heart will go into the UK. I think UK do the best rap music, which most people would disagree with. I got into like a beef accidentally on Instagram. It was like there was like who would win in a fight, like Jay Huss, but not even win in a fight, like it was a rap battle or something. I can't remember who the comparisons were. It was like Jay Huss versus some American artist. I was like Jay Huss all day.
Yeah,
and it turned into a whole thing. Like,
oh my gosh.
People were like, what are you saying? I was like, I just made a comment. I was like, I was like, you move. Like, I don't need this. I was like, that was my intention. I was just like repping the UK.
This is my opinion, goodness.
This is the thing. This is, you know what I've learned? Never read the comments on Instagram, on any post that you see. Never read them, because you just learn that people have the most abhorrent views. And then I was also like, never comment back like a person, because then they're like, oh, you don't know this. They said alive. Oh, it was something like Drake versus Jay Huss.
Oh.
It was like something like that. And then there was like, Drake is an American, he's Canadian. I was like, I didn't say he wasn't. Like, that wasn't my argument. Right. side point. But anyway, that all being said, now, so then I got into like, and then grime music. And so originally, other people won't know, but I changed my style. And it was Stand Up Tall by Dizzy Rascal, because link back to the beginning of this podcast, the CD that I heard Jeff Buckley's Dream Brother on from Key Magazine also had Stand Up Tall, Dizzy Rascal on that. The first time I'd heard Dizzy Rascal, and I was like, oh my God, I like this. Oh, I don't know about rap that well. Let me investigate. And so Dizzy was kind of my gateway into Wiley, into Kano, and all of these other great artists that come from that. And Rhett kind of, I think, again, Bakita, you've got too much airplay on this one, but I think Bakita introduced me to Rhett. Like, he played at our union and he had like some kind of pop songs with like Example, Unorthodox. So I was kind of like, yeah. And I listened to the Growing Over Life album, and this song's on it. And he's just so talented. And I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves for how talented he is. Name checked all the time by the Stormzy's of the world. Like, Rhett is the Don, like, Rhett is number one. Like, you cannot beat like Rhett lyrically. And I agree, but he doesn't have the airplay. And I think he has hits. Like, he has like songs you can jam to. But his lyrics are incredible, and six words, like, you know, it kind of ends with "I found my treasure in you," and it was just such a beautiful sentiment in that song. that I just love. And I think, I don't know if this song reminds me of anything in particular. It does remind me of the gig that I saw, like his Growing Up in Life album gig, which was at Kentish Town Forum, and it was incredible. And he played this album from start to finish, which I love, from in the same order. Not enough artists do that. And I was like, there's a reason you put that song, the album, in that order.
Exactly.
Those, like, mad people, and sorry if you're one of them, but like, listens to an album for the first time on shuffle. Like, where's that, is like disrespect. Like, you listen to it in an order first, and then you can shuffle about however you want. So I just love that, and it was, for me, it was like one of the best gigs I've been to in a long time. Wretched, one of the best. Sometimes when you listen to rap like live, you know, and I've seen quite a lot of artists live, and I think if you don't have like a live band with it, like it's a bit flat, just someone on a microphone, and just Wretched was just like, it was so, you know, musical, like he had great instruments, great band around him, and I just thought it was amazing. And this song in itself was quite popular, and I think it was a bit of my gateway into Wretched, and I was like, oh, this is like the lyrics are great and like really clever. I mean, and he, for me, is like his wordplay, like I couldn't even imagine how he puts it together.
So
it's stunning. And like, I saw him talk at South Bank a few months ago, and about his book. He released the book. I can't remember what it's called. I haven't actually read it yet, which I feel really bad about. My friend bought me a copy, and he signed it. And I will read it. I will read it. The problem is I've struggled reading in lockdown, which is a whole side issue. But and it's just about how he kind of puts together his lyrics, because he is so inventive with it. And it was really interesting just kind of hearing his perspective. You're like, you know what, really, like, I would love to be a poet in some way. Like, I'm not, and I don't have a way with words. But there is something. So, like, you know when you hear, like, a bar and you're like, wow, and it like blows your mind, like that is just an artistry that I just have like the utmost respect for, but I just could not even, like, I can't even understand how someone puts together words like that, you know. It's just, it's so it's so ingenious to me. And I think Wretched just like embodies for me the type of like rap music I like to listen to, and you know, there's a lot of music that I like to listen to just to dance to, but like I wouldn't rate any of the lyrics. But with Wretch, I want to hear his perspective. I want to hear him. And, you know, and I think it's so great.
I totally agree. It's a skill. It's such like an amazing skill to have, like a lot of words, because, you know, we use them every day, all the time, in every single way, in everything that we do. But to really just like have like that ownership and power to just develop beautiful wordplays and metaphors and similes and just like boss it. It's a beautiful, beautiful skill. I admire it so much. So much.
It's so clever. Like, I think like just in the lyrics, like one life, two children, three times, four dreaming, five senses, six words, found my treasure in you. And I think like, and that's priceless spending. Now let me count my blessings. Like that, just, it's like so simple, but you're like, that's so, and especially to him, because obviously that's his life. Like that just must embody it. Like, that's embody how he lives his life and what he's prayed for. And I just, I have so much respect for it. And it's just so, so good. And I think like, I'd love to see Wretch be like super, super famous and, you know, have all the credit and stuff.
But
I don't know. I don't know if that will happen.
It's interesting, like, isn't it?
It's really interesting because he gets a lot of love, but I just don't think he gets like the credit that he deserves, really. It's funny because there's like people like, you know how I compare it? So I compare it to like someone like Kano, not comparing their artistry in any way, but like I saw Kano at Royal Albert Hall and that whole thing was sold out. But I was like, if this was Wretch, I don't know if he'd sell out in the same way. I don't know if it's fair to even compare the two, but I was like, does Wretch, like, I mean, I was then also about to say, does Wretch have more bangers than Kano? But I think Kano will have P's and Q's like living with him. Kano could have been on the list as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
I love Kano. Is
he's good.
Key. Yeah. But I think I only really got into Kano quite late in life, so I felt like it wasn't nostalgic, more that I just appreciated his talent later down the line. But yeah. Have you done this, by the way? Have you picked your song?
I have, yeah. It's the first episode.
Okay, I need to look back. What was one of your songs?
My songs were... Actually, let me bring them up. It was Jill Scott, Golden.
Nice.
Take Five. Where is it? Here we go. Jill Scott, Golden. Take Five. Robert. Dave Brookbeck. I'm really bad at pronouncing names. Whitney Houston, My Love Is Your Love.
That was on my shortlist.
Was it? Oh!
I literally got rid of that yesterday. I'm so excited about that, because that song is... Whitney. I mean, let's talk about Whitney for a second, because Whitney was on my list. Let's talk about Whitney. Like, that song, even now, like, it's timeless.
Absolutely timeless. Like,
that is just one of the best songs ever made, easily. And it's just like her voice and like the soul in her voice was just so epic and just so like soulful and velvety. I just love that song so much.
Just everything, yeah. I just proper connected it to my mother.
Yeah,
and I just was like, I felt like this. My mum is singing this song to me. Like I still feel that and believe that to this day. Like it's just I have such. Yeah, every time I hear that song, it's just my mom's song. And my mom is like, I don't really, she doesn't get it. She gets it, but she's just like, I don't know how, but I appreciate that you've made that connection.
Oh, that's amazing. It reminds me of my family, actually, just because like, they loved Whitney. Like, Whitney was a goddess in our household. So like, I think they like the big ballady ones. And I love the big ballady Whitney songs, but I think there's something so understated in My Love Is Your Love, that it just was like, that was the Whitney I liked. I liked that kind of, like, I did like the big ballady one, like, it was great. But, like, for me, it was just, like, that understated side of her. I just thought her voice was great either way, but I think that's so soulful. I'm glad that, I'm really glad about that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned it.
Love it. No, I'll definitely check it out. Absolutely love it. Kendrick Lamar, and I got Wale on there, Ambition, Kendrick Lamar, Paul Williams. But
I mean, both great. Like, Kendrick is amazing. You can't fault Kendrick.
You really can't.
But, like, for me, Kendrick, like, something with Kendrick is that he's a little bit like, almost like I don't get it sometimes. Like I feel like with Kendrick, I have to listen. Like I've got to study Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So someone like I hate comparing artists because everyone lives in their own lane and just great things. But like if I listen to J. Cole, I can kind of get it. Like it feels a little. And you know, that's not to dumb down anything. He's not like he's not as clever as Kendrick. But there's something about quite like easy listening to. Maybe earlier J. Cole less so, but like Kendrick, like I feel like I need to get my notebook out, I need to listen, and I need to write it, I need to dissect, I need to understand it, and like that is like, so I love Kendrick, but sometimes I do feel like I don't have the like time for Kendrick.
Yeah, you haven't got that mental like capacity. I need to like really, I can't unconsciously listen to you, I need to consciously listen to
you. He's not commuting music.
Yeah, yeah.
Kendrick is not commuting music. Massive love for Kendrick. I'm really excited to see what he brings out coming up.
Yeah, me too. He's been a bit quiet, hasn't he?
He's been a bit quiet. Like he's rustling something up though.
Yeah.
Next year, I reckon.
It'll be interesting to see what he's got.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. We have come to the end. It's been nothing short of amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your amazing songs. And I've added some songs to my playlist already, honestly. I'm adding that Rage for You too and that Block Party.
Good.
I really was feeling the Block Party.
Yay!
I love it.
If there's anything I can do to just bring Block Party to people's lives, so this has been amazing. I was super nervous about it, but you've been amazing. Like, felt super calm, super good. Relaxed. So yeah, but this has been a lot of fun. And also really important for everyone to like look back and think about those songs, because I think those actually the impact that they end up having in your life is way bigger than you probably ever envisaged, especially when you look back after like 16 years.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Miriam. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. As always, we are looking for guests to come on our show to share their stories and songs. Please visit our Instagram page to find out how remote recording is possible. Be sure to like, comment, and tell a friend.